The NFL's third week starts tonight in the Meadowlands. We get the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and the Patriots, and then we get a full football, full weekend of football with week three ending Monday night in Cincinnati with our team against the Bengals. Washington right now, the biggest underdog on the board, Denton. They are 8-point dogs against the Bengals. The biggest underdogs in NFL weeks one and two, both won outright. New England beat Cincinnati in week one. And last weekend, it was the Raiders upsetting Baltimore. I don't know if anything really even qualifies as an upset in the NFL anymore until you've really identified the truly horrible teams. And at this point, there's one. The one horrible team would be Carolina. But even that changes this week because Andy Dalton is going to start. And believe it or not, the Panthers are a short underdog on the road against that Raiders team that beat Baltimore. Go figure. More on that tomorrow. Washington has a shot. We will certainly get into how and why they can win this game, which I think they can, more tomorrow and then on Monday. But for starters, if they run the football the way they did Sunday against the Giants, against a team that quite honestly right now is healthier and better defensively than Cincinnati is, if they can run the football that way, they have a very good chance. Good morning. We have some guests on the show today. Charch will be on with us today in his normal spot, Fantasy Football Talk with Charch at 11:25. Mitch Tischler from JP's podcast will be on. Love Mitch. He'll be on with us at 10:35. And then Nick Ackridge from Pro Football Focus joined me on my podcast yesterday. We're going to play some of that a little bit later on in the program. But I got this from Daniel. And Daniel writes, Kevin, I think it was mean to talk about Terry McLaurin the way you guys did yesterday. Polling if he's a true number one was way too negative, even for sports talk radio. So, you know, I read this, and by the way, Daniel wasn't the only one. Although most of you, with the poll that we put out yesterday, we put out a poll yesterday asking if you think Terry McLaurin is a true number one wide receiver. 62% roughly said no, 38% said yes. Most of the comments that I got at me or even in response to the poll were weighing in on the poll question. But there were a couple that said this is, you know, this isn't right to go after Terry that way. You know, in most cases, Daniel, I would literally tell you just to man up. You know, these are professional athletes. This is, you know, talking about this team, given what we've gone through over the last quarter century, they should be pleased with just any kind of conversation about them. But I actually think you're right about this one. And not because it's mean. I mean, mean is, in my opinion, a bit soft in your response. But I do think it was far too early to have this conversation about Terry McLaurin in a new, brand new offense. It hasn't been too early to have the view that I've had for, you know, a couple of years now, and the view that many of you have shared, which is, look, he's a really good receiver. He's not an elite receiver. He's somewhere between, you know, 14 and 18. And with a lot of the new receivers that have come into the league the last couple of years, he's probably backing up to somewhere between 18 and 22. By definition, that means he's a number one wide receiver because, look, some teams have two number ones on their squad. So, you know, if you got 32 teams, that means there's an opportunity for 32 number one wide receivers. But I think we all know what we mean when we say a true number one. You're talking about a game changer. You're talking about a player where defenses and defensive coordinators have to coordinate and plan for that player, a player that can truly impact the game by himself. And by the way, with great quarterbacking or good quarterbacking or without it. We've seen that happen in spots. I mean, Garrett Wilson had a very good rookie season without a quarterback. Devontae Adams has had good seasons without real good quarterbacking. Yes, it is way too early, and I agree with you, Daniel. And I thought about this, actually, when we put the poll out yesterday, when Denton said we were putting the poll out. I'm like, yeah. But it generated a lot of response, and there is a conversation going on among the fans about Terry McLaurin's 4.9 yards per reception in the first 2 weeks and why he hasn't been targeted more and why the reception yardage isn't greater. It's going to be. Okay, Terry McLaurin is a good NFL receiver. He's not going to average 4.9 yards per reception. I mean, there are at least two or three plays that were there if the quarterback connects with him on that would have him leading the team in average yards per reception in terms of the wide receivers. Actually, that's not true now after Noah Brown on Sunday. Noah Brown, his three catches for 56 yards, that's 18.7 yards per reception. I'm not concerned about Terry McLaurin going away, becoming less impactful than he's been previously with a better quarterback and a better coordinator. He has had terrible quarterback play. There is no doubt about that. But the elite receivers, take Davante Adams as an example, put him in, you know, Vegas, put Aiden O'Connell, a rookie quarterback out of Purdue, with him most of last year. He still had 100 catches. But, Daniel, you're right. You're right. It's way too early to be down on or to even give the impression that we're going after Terry, because that's the last guy we need to go after. He's been one of the bright lights during, you know, the last several years, which haven't really included much good to see, and he's been that. And I think he's going to shine in this offense and with this quarterback. I do. I will make one other, if I didn't do this yesterday, I think I did, one other constructive critique. He and all of the receivers have to block better. He's far from an elite blocker. Not a bad blocker, but far from an elite blocker. And he and the other receivers are going to have to become better at that. Right now, their best blocker in terms of a skill position player is John Bates. It's not even debatable. He's their best blocking tight end. He's probably their best. He's actually a very good blocking tight end as compared to other blocking tight ends around the league. Bates is kind of a sleeper important player for them right now, especially if you consider, and I am considering this, that Washington, at least this year, and I think Kingsbury is going to really lean on this, they're going to become a team that ends up in that top five-ish range in average yards rushing per game. I mean, already it's two games, small sample size. But Washington right now, sixth in the league in rushing yards per game at 176.5. They obviously had a big game Sunday against the Giants. So that is, you know, that will be certainly something that I think we're going to see all year. And it's going to be a requirement, a necessity for Terry McLaurin and De'Ami Brown and Noah Brown and Zacchaeus, et cetera, to be involved in the blocking game. Because the best rushing teams have their receivers as good blockers. You don't want to have to go three tight ends to run the football.